body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's a talked on that some yesterday in the church down here. We're confident, I say, and willing rather, listen to this, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, I remember, if Bishop Mason is on the line, he would know that Derek Prince described that verse in the context of the natural and the spiritual. He makes the statement that being absent and present, absent from this body here and present with the Lord, is constructed in such a way that there's no measurable time frame for it. He says both absence and presence literally happen at the same time in terms of a human construct. And that's exactly what's going on. And I don't have my King James with me now, but I read yesterday Hebrews chapter 12, where it explains how we're accompanied by this great company of saints. And in this case, I don't necessarily like the English, the Living Translation, because not just because of Old English in the King James, but just because of what it is. In Hebrews 12:22, it says, "No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem." Look, to the countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. And it was in your King James, it probably would say the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. This is what he says. We have come to, we actually are there positionally right now. I want to almost not use that word, positional, because it's our reality. The heavenly dimension, by at least a birthright, is real to us. But what God wants us to do is to continue in the reality of us being born from above, so that that above life, the life of the eternal, the life of the spiritual, is greater in its reality than anything natural and temporary. Meaning, again, I read this the passage in verse 2 Corinthians 5:8. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In actual fact, you and I always ask about the presence of the Lord, but it seems like we're not in a hurry to get to his presence. We want him to come to our presence. That's really kind of how it is. God, we love the presence of God in that way. Well, God says, okay, if you plead with me to die, you can get in my presence with no problem. And as a matter of fact, you'll never get out of it again. And you'll join that great company of believers who are observing us right now. That's powerful stuff right here, people. You understand? And so, again, I want to say that in the following verse of 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to go back to Hebrews 12, just talking with you right now. Wherefore we labor, he says this, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, there's no way in the flesh living according to any of the priorities of the flesh, you are going to be accepted of God. The life of God is clearly a life of the Spirit. There's no doubt about it. Like when it says prior to verse 7 in these verses, it says in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't say we walk by faith, not by seeing. He's actually talking about we walk by faith, not by the influences of this physical world. And And yet, in the last couple of years, the influence of the circumstances of this world, and I mean, including death, is real. You know, I'm a Vietnam vet, and I just discovered yesterday, right after church, a young man who can certify people in this state to carry a gun, actually give you a certificate where if a police stops you and you are carrying, you can show that you have a permit to be able to carry it. And I want to tell you something, that the certification of the reality of the Spirit is something that you and I have to plead with God to give us, so that what's happening in the spirit world, the world outside of this one, in God, is way more prevalent to us than what's happening in the natural world. And that whatever we are deciding, those decisions come from the influence of the world that God is in and the world we came from. Paul says, man, I press for this. He says, I labor to be accepted of him. Now, that's really the issue of, that's me right now with my wife's homeborn. Is my attitude accepted of God right now about it? Now, you can go there all you want about, yeah, well, I know you miss, I know your mourning, of course. But greater than my mourning is whether or not I am still an example of Christ's likeness. And secondly, am I appreciating and thankful to God right now? In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. I mean, that's in every circumstance. Now, clearly every natural circumstance does not seem uplifting. It does not seem that it came from God. All of that. But in light of my ignorance of what is happening in the circumstance or what my emotions are saying, all of this, I still want to stay in alignment in such a way that I'm accepted of him. And that can only actually happen by a life lived in the spirit world. God doesn't free us from emotions. He frees us from the influence of them. There's nothing both in our physical makeup and in the world, the natural world or even the emotional world. I know some psychologists and psychiatrists would disagree with me on this. But I can clearly say that both this, everything in the natural and everything in our emotions, is under the influence of the eternal. I mean, the Holy Spirit is our confidence. He's the person that brings us to a place of divine pleasing. And that's where we want to live. I mean, it's not even close, but it has been shown that Christians will make decisions for themselves. I mean, I can't tell you how many, not just men, but women. I've seen women influence, wives influence the husband in this pandemic time. I've seen churches shut down. I've seen all because they said being safe. And I scream at them, the safest place to be is in the will of God. I said the safest place to be is standing on the word of God. I said the safest place to be is listening to the Holy Spirit. And on and on and on. Does that mean you wouldn't give COVID? You don't know people that died, that that other kinds of diseases were not even paid attention to over this outpouring of this COVID? But I see people, even right now, I mean, nonsense people. I just last night, they had the Grammys. I mean, I don't know. I just saw the last 5 minutes of it or so because I was listening to a news show, BBC News, and they said, well, the Grammys. I said, let me see if the Grammys are. So I saw the end of it. Even secular people aren't even wearing masks right now. I see Christians scared to death to go to church. Matter of fact, I looked yesterday at one of Jake's services, T.D. Jakes, I'm talking about. And he wasn't afraid to show his crowd attendance. And in looking at his crowd attendance, only scattered people in the center of that mega church he has that he got. I remember when he bought it from W.B. Grant. And thousands were gone. And I'll clearly tell you, those of you who are on the line who happen to be black, that black people seem to be way more afraid to come back to church than other races. And if you were viewed me, go online, look at Spring of Life. Look, I think Miss Ellenwood must have posted my messaging in the service on my Facebook. You know, again, I don't even know how to find that. I don't look at it. But you'll see that even these Latino people, I mean, half of the congregation, maybe almost all of them have had it. And people coming back to church, serving God. Forsake not the assemblies of yourselves together. But I see scores of black people, Christian people I know, still scared to death to go to church. I don't believe those people are laboring to be accepted of him. Jesus nor his disciples would have shut down the level Christians I know have shut down and justifying it. And no doubt they're saving their lives. See? As though death is not a portal. Now, I want to clearly tell you that dying to the flesh is much harder than dying physically. In other words, in the flesh. And the outpouring, which you heard me enumerate, of Acts 2, you should receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses. Oh, see, 1:8, I believe it is. The word witness is martyr. And that death, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. See? Galatians 2. And Colossians 3, he says, now ye are dead. Again, he's talking about spiritual death. In other words, making the eternal dimension your priority, your way of thinking. Now, all of the miracles we see that Jesus did, all of the ones the disciples did, were all because the spirit world was the real world to them. This is where, with my woman dying, I had to have a real world attitude about it, meaning the world that God lives in and the world that I've been born into. Out of that world, I got to live. Now, when I die physically, like my wife died physically, she's now into that world. Now, there's going to be a great judgment, but there's no doubt that she's present with the Lord. So she then has what it says in the first verse of 2 Corinthians 5. She has it already because it says that. But we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die, see, and leave this earthly body, we'll have a house in heaven, an eternal body, made for us by God himself and not by human hands. So he lays it right out when we die. So she's in her new body right now. The body we saw in the church. I want to thank also, Calvin and Lady Duncan and the whole congregation for your generous love for your bishop and allowing us to have my woman's celebration there. It is really, really, really awesome. Faith and family. You really did conduct yourselves like a family. Yeah. I'm your spiritual dad, and you went for it. And it cost you something, too. I'm not talking about time, but that is part of your life and labor and all that. But I'm just saying, you know, I asked you, you didn't go into it with me, but I asked you how much money. And I certainly was willing to help them. And they wouldn't talk to me about any money for this celebration time. I want to thank you for that. Your love is greater than the money, though. It's just that. It's, you see? I mean, that is amazing to me, you know, just to, this was demonstrated love. So again, I want to thank you. And, you know, scores of you on the line are like this, you know, are like this, but they had that opportunity. And in that opportunity, they stepped up to the plate strongly. I just say, thank you. And beyond that, I can say that, like, a number of you, and again, I want to commend these pastors. I'm talking about Calvin and Barbara Duncan. I mean, they literally are submitted to me. I mean, he said it even in the service. You understand? I'm not only their father, I'm on the board. I'm in the decision-making of what goes on in there and all of that. But, you know, I don't get in there unless they want me. I don't do that. I'm like that with Bishop Mason. And I don't go into that business of what they're doing on a day-to-day unless they ask me. Now, if they ask me, I get all into it. I mean, that's what it is. And probably even now, with my wife, home with the Lord, she's encouraging me to be the real thing. And that includes sometimes inconveniencing myself for the sake of what someone else is doing. And so I just want to go on the line. I'm a father, two fathers. I'm a bishop. So my primary responsibility is to my bishops and pastors. And to me, I can't give you any more than the nature of the things I'm talking about right now. The physical things, there are way better people that can do physical things better than I, of course. But the fact that I'm spiritually a dad to scores of you on this line, and it's going to be, by the grace of God, scores more. So I've taken a couple of opportunities to go to cities right now, and I haven't made any aggressive moves yet. I'm here in my office here at this down in Miami talking to you. My luggage is packed right now in front of the in the family room here, and then I have luggage on top of the bed. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I am so out of here today, headed up toward Atlanta, if I can get it all together. Jason is here with me to help me on this. But look, do I know where I'm going? Well, I might stop off temporarily in Atlanta. I don't know. But where God is impressing me, one of the people, the elders, if you did view yesterday's messages, the elders of this church all were asked to come up to say what they felt and my wife and I being present with them for the last year. And you would hear some of those things. And that's as much as I would say about it. And so I can see that they celebrated me. This is not in a natural way. It's for what I gave them in terms of what some of you have had. But not consistently that way for hours at a time. Now, part of what I'm going to do in some of those places where I'm going is I am creating an 8-hour environment where I'm going to still do what I do. I believe inundation, a flood, has a different effect than normal water levels. A tsunami can really, really make things happen at a different measure than just a regular storm. And I believe that spending time in the Word of God, like, you think about when we used to do that. We'd be together for hours and hours and hours. Look at the lack of tolerance that's come to, the so-called people of God. We talk about what we used to do. Well, I'm not the used-to-do person. I'm now. See? And those people that don't want God, you can't make your decision making based on their desires, their unwillingness to stay in there, to sacrifice, to pray all night or fast or whatever it may be. You can't make your decisions on that. Now, the one thing I would say I admire about Jake's and that service is he didn't let his pride of used to, of having scores of people usually follow him keep him from showing that their scores of people aren't there yet. They aren't following him by coming back to church. In other words, his authority doesn't include getting those people to do the word of God over the fear of death in their own lives. Yet, every one of the apostles followed Jesus to the death. Except John, all of them died. And I want to say to you that their faithfulness has come down to us. What do you mean? If they hadn't done the Great Commission and gone to all the world to preach the gospel, we wouldn't have it today. Jesus brought people into, birthed them into the spirit world. The disciples were delegated by Jesus Christ and by the quickening power of God to get people born again at a nation's level. Make disciples of nations. He said, think broader than any place you've ever been. Go where you've never been. Do what you've never done at a measure you never did. That's what he did. And so look at us. Here we are. This is the disciples' work, right? Here we are. But their work is not that they brought us into this world naturally. That wasn't their assignment. Their work is that they brought us the gospel, and that gospel passed down generationally. So they were birthing, through their influence, people into the spirit world. I don't want to live below the standard of the first century Christians. Do you get that? I want to live, look, from what? Strength to strength, from faith to faith, faith to faith, from grace to grace, from glory to glory. So if I ask myself, how am I doing? I wouldn't say I'm doing extremely well. Now, the point I'm making also in that company of believers, in Hebrews chapter 12 that I was beginning to read to you. Oh, my Father, this is your business. You got me. Here it is. See? My wife is looking at me right now. She's in that company. She can't interfere unless God allows it. Now, God did allow now Elijah and Moses to have a talk with Jesus while he was in his earthly body, but he wasn't fleshly. You hear that? He was in the flesh, but he wasn't fleshly. He could ascend up in what we now know in Matthew 17, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And the big three heard Elijah and Moses talk to Jesus. So that says a lot there. I won't go into all of it, but clearly, how would they know it was Moses? To my dear apostles, how would they know, the big three, it was Moses and Elijah unless Jesus introduced them? No, he didn't have to introduce them. They'll know as they were known. They already were tapped into that world of confidence. While in this physical body, they were able to see things and hear things. And then, you know, of course, typical Peter came to that, this, let's make some altars. Nonsense. Shut up, Peter. Shut up. Listen. I think some of you could do that better, too. I mean, I'm not talking about that you're not listening to me now. I'm talking about whether you're hearing me now. You know, I'm just saying, even right now, I have to make sure I'm not afraid to die. There's certain levels of evangelism I wouldn't do if I was afraid to die, because in certain places, is way more dangerous than other places to put the gospel out. There are certain people you talk to are way more offended, and they would try to almost crucify you if they could hear the gospel. I believe this Supreme Court nominee compromised such a standard that on the opportunity to be non-political, that's why it's a lifetime appointment as a Supreme Court justice. These different services, from the administration of the president to the Congress and the Supreme Court, I mean, they're supposed to be the bodies that hold each other accountable. Well, this woman already shows she's political. She's asked the question, what is a woman? But it's a throwback to Leah Thomas and this man racing, swimming, and winning against women. And when she's asked the question, what is a woman, she said she refuses to answer. Well, woman, what are you? Why don't you answer that? Because you're being political. With a lifetime, you want to get appointed. Isn't the principle and the standard of saying and doing what's right better in that opportunity than even you're getting the appointment? If you compromise to get the appointment, if you just fight against those people because they're trying to get somewhere, they're trying to question you to the nth degree to understand where you are. So you're trying to hide where you are? You mean you're not authentic? You don't want to say what you think? You don't want to say what the definition of a woman is? I know lots of you have an opinion about that. But listen, I'm talking about in God's sight. That's what Paul says, rather to be accepted of the Lord. I labor, is what he's saying. She lost the war with him. That's James 4. What is causing the quarrels and fightings among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? See that? That's wars. Losing the battle from within. She's lost the battle. It doesn't matter whose relative she is. She's going to have to answer to God. That moment is going to appear back in the great day. Now, I don't know if she's a Christian or not. That's not even the point. But I hope she is. I know Christians who do nonsense, who won't stand up strong for the Bible when they're tested. This whole life is a tested life. Something else in it. Hey. I'm hitting it, aren't I? I'm hitting it. I'm just saying. And so for me, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to be with Paul on it. Again, we're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, you can put a therefore, because he'd rather be present with the Lord. So he says, therefore, I labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted. In other words, my behavior now is approved of God, just like it will be when I'm right before him in the world he's in. Why? Because I'm living out of that world now. That's what Paul is saying. Whether present or absent, I'm living in such a way that I'm living for God's approval, ultimately. And there's certain things that under the fear of COVID, you won't do. You just will not do. You won't witness to anybody. You won't lay hands on them. You won't baptize them. You stink. I mean, just on and on. You just can't do it if you're afraid to die. And I want to just say it to you, so it'll be clear for you. All the apostles except one died martyrs. Okay? I've said it. The three main characters of the New Testament died martyrs. Who are you talking about? John the Baptist, Jesus, and Paul. Died martyrs. They died. But death is a portal. Now, okay, so now that my wife has died, now you know good and well the devil was talking to me about dying. That's all. He wouldn't be the devil if he didn't do that. Now, of course, I'm going to say, get behind me, Satan. But rather than to fear death, I want to be extravagant about life. What am I talking about? I'm not talking about, like, I was with a guy the other day. He says, I'm going to a Heat game, man. He was talking to me, but he was a motivational speaker. And out of that conversation with me, he said, man, you got to be careful what you say now. Because, man, it could be like if you say the wrong thing around the wrong people, you're done. He was talking about money, not getting speaking opportunity. He was more about what he gets out of life than what he gives to life. Who want to listen to you? You're nonsense. You're not principle-based, dude. You want to make sure you have enough money so you can go there and see the Heat game. A game that doesn't even really matter that much because it's not even the playoffs yet. You got two or three games left. Most of the star players are not even playing right now unless the teams are trying to position themselves for a better playoff spot. You're talking about sports, but you're violating principle, and the sport has revealed you. Hey, at least I'm not screaming at you, right? But I'm still talking and stuff. I mean, if your bishop isn't living this life strongly, why should you be following me? See? If this doesn't resonate with you and it doesn't, like, press you to say, wow, man, I gotta get some things right. I gotta repent of some things. I gotta rededicate myself. Well, so what? I mean, 1,000 times, man. I mean, you know, if God really revealed himself to us, we'd be repenting every day from something. But thank God he revealed to us what isn't right so we could get it right. What if he just lets us die at a level that we are right now? You think you're at the maxed out? You've been maxed out? You mean you're living this life perfectly right now? Well, the grace of God is when he shows you your imperfections. Why? It gives you a moment to repent. And then you want the time to be restored so you can live the life appropriately under every challenge. Now, I'll say this, and I said it yesterday, and now that it's over. I don't believe, in my observation, that my wife got appropriate medical care at any point that I was able to observe her. It was the most critical level suffering I've ever seen one person go through, looking at her from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, looking at that woman went through something. Now, what I don't know about, and this is where I have to, in all things, give thanks even with that, I don't know what comfort she had within, because that's the invisible world. I've seen the grimaces. I've seen the screams. I've seen her holler. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm not pitiful, because God's not allowing that. I got to rise up. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's not selectively. That's be strong every minute. And my caveat is with the help of the Lord. In the flesh, man, you can't do nothing in that world that the devil is in. You can't do nothing with the devil in the flesh. That's what he majors on, the flesh. Well, here I am. This is your bishop. Just saying. Verse 9 again of 2 Corinthians 5, King James Version now. Wherefore we labor, if whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And then he goes to it, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice the imperative. We must. Oh, how many? All. What? Appear. Where? Before the judgment seat. And here's what I said to you. Whoever is going to judge you ultimately is who you have to please presently. I worked the church yesterday by using Noah as the example of the continual repopulation of the earth. I mean, God found one man that stood against all the wickedness of the whole earth, Noah, because I found him righteous. Read it in Genesis 6. The one man. See? So, Adam populated the earth originally. Noah populated the earth after the great flood, his family. But one man allowed God not to start all over again, but fulfill the created mandate he gave Adam originally. It was fulfilled through Noah based on his dedication. Now, you see that pathway all the way through. The children of Israel and the creation never have submitted to God correctly. See? You see it. That's what you see. And on, you go on and you see Moses. I mean, God was going to destroy the whole earth through Moses. Moses said, no. Read that in Exodus 33, 34. He said, look, God, if you're going to destroy them, take me out first. Look at this intercession here, buddy. But God was not satisfied with the behavior of the masses. But look at a selfless man. God said, I'll raise up a whole generation after you. Well, that's the point. God wants to replicate future life after the standard of a present life. Isn't that what happens when you get married? Don't they ask after marriage when you get pregnant, woman gets pregnant, what is it? Do you know what it is yet? And a family usually will say, well, we don't want to know yet until. And others, when the baby does come, we say, what is it? It's a boy. It's a girl. Not, it's, I don't know. We're going to wait till they get old enough so they can decide what they are. Nonsense. Debauchery. Anathema. If you and I don't stand up against the demonic insurgence of evil that comes through the gay community, not anymore biblically same-sex. It said, God says, it's an abomination. We've gone now to same-sex marriage, and now to call ourselves queer, and now to create another word, trans. That's what? We allow that. The church says, God says, what you bind on earth, disciples, he talks. That's discipleship talk. It's bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Not living a marginal Christian life. That stuff doesn't. You're wasting your breath and time. You're not serious about God. Don't you think you would hate it if you got before the judgment seat? Look, and you lived out this life, like, okay, I'm 73, and you live it out. And then God says to you, loss, loss, loss. Now, you know what? 1 Corinthians 3 says, if all your works are burned, you will be saved. That's because of the work of Christ, the redemptive work of Christ. But wouldn't you hate for one thing about your life, God said loss, 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 when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? You don't get rewarded for your life you live? Here, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5, King James Version, that everyone may receive the thing he's done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Bad, loss. Good, reward. Don't you want that your whole life is the issue of the rewards God's going to give you? It ain't no thing. It's nothing on the earth you could think about that he's going to give you. Because it's all going to burn. What God is going to give you has more to do with what comes out of the eternal world. And like, for example, sealing you in the character qualities. Affirming your responsibility because of where you've grown to in God. Giving you an assignment. Well, his original assignment for Adam, wasn't it? To repopulate the earth? Isn't that what he told Noah? Noah, didn't Noah populate the earth? He was really fulfilling the mandate. Didn't Jesus come and tell Nicodemus, you must be born again? Jesus is populating the heavens. Aren't you continuing in that? Make disciples of nations, what Jesus told disciples. Come on. We are the repopulation people. We bring people into the eternal dimension where it's real to us. I've almost moved up to the screaming level at 6 a.m. in an apartment building where the walls aren't that thick. Maybe somebody is pressing their ear up against the walls in the hallway trying to listen to this bishop. I hope your ears are pressing against your phone, not that you're holding it that way, to listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that every person listening to me can live a better Christian life than they're living. And if you're serious about it, you want to live better than you're living. Why? Because the potential is there. You think the Holy Spirit is maxed out on you? No, only if you've maxed out on him. If you resist him, watch this. The Bible says, humble yourself under God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The opposite is also true. Humble yourself unto the devil, resist God and he will flee from you. Oh no, this eternal world is a voluntary world. Whosoever will, let him come. God doesn't make you get saved. You've heard me say that no one getting to heaven says, I didn't want to come here anyway. You made me come here. You know that. But nobody makes you come to the next level. You got to choose it. See? Being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's verb tense, is continually being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If you and I don't cultivate the eternal, you won't grow. You got to cultivate it. Now, okay, here it is. I'm gone. One last thing. So now I'm looking at my wife in that company looking at me right now. Now, I don't know if she's condescending on me, because she may have thought when she was alive physically that I was way more serious than what she's seeing now. Well, in that world she's in, you know as you're known, so she can see the level I should be at as opposed to the level that I am. I'm conscious of that. I said the same thing about my mom, because my mom moved to Atlanta to die with me. I would hate to think that I wasn't serious enough for her, or she felt like she wasted her time coming where I was. And to some measure, I would say she did. Why? Because of the measure of God. I mean, do you know, when you start looking at Scripture, all of it, things that God didn't tell Moses, things that he only told Moses, things that Jesus didn't tell his disciples, things that he only told the big three as opposed to not telling the nine. When you look at it, largely, mostly, what God knows, you and I have never heard. And look at what he says it this way. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love us. You think you could be dedicated enough right now? You think you have enough of God right now? You think you're not needing more? Well, let me just go ahead and be counting in the number. I know I need more. I know I do. And you know what? This is what I'm thankful about, soldiers, that I want more. I know I don't pray well enough. I don't fast well enough. I'm not humble enough. I don't serve enough. I mean, because of looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, so that whether I fast or pray or serve, it's all in light of Jesus being the standard. Now, how close am I to his standard? It's like I haven't even started yet. But let's just deal with the human construct. I'm not happy with my level of devotion if I didn't have the revelation I have about Jesus. I don't know what's extreme. So, like, you know, this time of morning, normally I would be, like, It's been like that. I would be at the gym by now. And I'd be in there trying to stretch out these old bones and, you know, and whatever. But why wouldn't I say, well, instead of going to the gym like that, why don't you just spend that time until daylight comes just with the Lord? There are numbers of things like that. Why don't I make a commitment to witness to 50 people every day, give a jubilee, go find 50 people. Why don't I finish my book? I got the great fasting book right in front of me right now. I want to finish it so bad. Why haven't you finished it? Is that because you're not dedicated, Boone? On and on. There are all kinds of things that if you look at them closely, you can do them better. So at some point in time, you have to make something that relates to the priorities of God become your priorities. It's not things you're just thinking you should do, or you could do, or you would do. You and I will regret it if we don't do it. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. There's nothing that Jesus was ordained to do that he didn't do. And he's the author and finisher of our faith, that everything that God has ordained for us to do, he empowers us to do it. Thank you, my Father, for your help. You sent the helper, so we, in the endeavors of the things of God, will be successful to every whit, in every way, and that you'll get the glory for it, and that it'll be so powerful that the only explanation for it is that you must have been the one doing it. Our bodies, your temple. Our work, your assignment. Thank you so much for keeping us, because there's still stuff left that you want to fulfill. I'm asking for your forgiving love to every person. And while they were listening to me, they became convicted where in some measure, they could be greater. God, give them the gift of repentance. Let them not be stiff-necked. Let them have a heart passionate for you. And they've chosen the soft way. If they're marginal in their dedication, if they're not fulfilling, as you being their example, their lives, as though what they're living is actually you living again to them, help them. I would say this also to you, Lord. Help me to be that example you would want for both the saints who have gone on and the saints who are still here. Whatever you do in me and in them and through me and through them, God get the glory for it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hey, listen, and all the people said, amen. So you already know what's coming. God bless you. Hey, Anique.
Yes, sir. Amen, Bishop.
Amen. God bless you. Bishop is still pounding. Still pounding.
I'll tell you now. Yes, sir.
So I was a little, like, some sort of way, you know, and not really ready. I can't say I'm clearly ready right now to just go out, but I am willing to be. You understand?
Yeah.
I am probably Bishop on the line right now, probably saying our church is ready for you right now. You know, I'm in San Antonio. I'm going in a minute. I'm going to Oakland, California in a minute. I still got internet stuff that I got to put up and things I got to do and organizing. I want to solidify where I'm going to live. I don't have a house. Like I told you, my stuff is packed. Look, I'm headed up. I'm going to try to make it to Jacksonville today. I'm going to probably see some people that I know there in Jacksonville and then head up to Atlanta. I don't know. I mean, Bishop Hunt and Mrs. Hunt, they're probably on the plane now. I can tell on them. They said, come
here. Yeah.
You know they want me to stay there. I said, no, I'm going to get a hotel. They don't like it, but again, you know how it is. I want to right now be by myself. And I don't want to say it like that, but that's really the truth. It's not that I don't love being with them, but I don't have it. I need that quiet time with God. And so I don't know where that's going to be for sure. I've had the people up in Charlotte ask me to come up there. You can stay in a hotel up there. Well, I walk out of my room and some people know me, and I don't want to be around anybody that knows me. But it doesn't mean I'm going to do that. I may go right over there, stay with Bishop and Eileen and just whatever. But I do know that God wants to clarify stuff to me, and it does take quietness. It does take be still. It does take. So certainly, you know how the scripture says, for you've never passed this way before. Well, that's where I am. It's that way every day on a human construct. But in terms of major transition in my life, for the call that's on me, you know, I would say that every person whose mate goes home to be with the Lord, they have things to decide. I'm thinking of two or three people right now that I know whose mate have gone home to be with the Lord. But now, in the terms of my bishoprics and what that is about, and bishop, one of my bishops may be on right now, but no, they want me in June to go to South Africa and Malawi and these places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've consented, ish. I don't see. So, you know, so I don't even have a place to live. So there are issues surrounding that. So, and with all that stuff, I hear the Babel talk. Rent housing is going up. Houses are at a ridiculous price. You got to pre-qualify. All of that.
Yeah.
One word of faith have I heard about housing. So I'm going to follow the grace. I'm going to follow the grace where I see the grace of God. So, anyway.
That's right. Go with the grace. You know, Bishop, we always appreciate you. You know, there's nothing like a good conviction first thing in the morning. And, you know, just pushing us to the next level. I'm like, okay, I'm raising my hand. Lord, help us. You know, we're right there. But we'll be praying for you to be, you know, where you're supposed to be, the grace, you know, speaking faith over your situation and housing. And but you know, Bishop and Pastor Hunt, they want you there. You know it. So, but we're just definitely going to be praying for you. And we love you so much. So thank you so much, for just your heart and just how much you care for us. We just love you. All right, Keymakers, you guys have an amazing week. Yes, Bishop, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You going to say something else?
Oh, no, I was just saying thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, Keymakers, y'all have a great week. Tell somebody about Jesus and get some testimonies in there and live for him in Jesus' name. All right, have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye, Bishop. Bye.